Hi, this is Nancy Clare. Welcome to episode 116 of Speaking of Mysteries. Avery Duff joins me to talk about Beach Lawyer, his debut crime fiction novel that was published on May 1st. I think every fan of mystery fiction has at least one or two favorite subgenres. For me, Beach Lawyer fits squarely in one of mine, surf noir, mysteries that take place in the metaphoric and literal shadows of sunny, beachy environments like Santa Monica and the Venice Boardwalk. Here's Avery Duff. Welcome back to Speaking of Mysteries. This is Nancy Clare, and I am really excited to have Avery Duff, whose debut novel, Beach Lawyer, was just released through Thomas and Mercer?
Thomas and Mercer.
Welcome, Avery.
Thank you very much, Nancy. I'm so glad to be here. I'm glad to be selected. Thank you.
Writers of mystery fiction come from a lot of different directions, and one of the more well-represented talent pools is lawyers, and you are one of those. I understand that Beach Lawyer isn't your first writing accomplishment. You are a screenwriter, but it's your first published novel. So what made you think to yourself, but what I really want to do is write a crime fiction novel?
That's a great question, and I'm actually going to tell you the truth. After a movie that I was involved in that I just enjoyed every bit of it. It was called Takers. I was asked to try to write a sequel, or actually a prequel in this instance. And having done so for the studio, we got done and they showed it to the star, and I won't say which one because every one of them was really just awfully, awfully nice people. Every one of them went against stereotype of actors, but the idea was, well, we'll pay you X, and he said, I want 5X, and that was that. And so I just said, I just can't do that anymore. There's one thing about the material. There's another thing about it being that arbitrary. And so I sat around for a while and then said, why don't you go back to that? This is actually not my first novel. It's my first published novel. But I decided to go back to a story that I started in Bali years and years ago when I was just over there for an extended period. And I enjoyed it. And I had stopped writing that because I wanted it to be a screenplay. And I said, the most interesting part of this is the backstory. And that'll be cut down to like 5 flashbacks of, 30 seconds each. And that's not what interests me about this story so much. And so I ended up going to that and saying, I'm enjoying this. This is interesting. I don't have to worry so much about a studio executive talking to me about, or an agency or anyone else telling me about why they don't like it. Of course, little did I know that there were a whole host of other obstacles that I just decided to stay oblivious to, and did, and just said, I'm writing a novel. And that's really how it happened. I'm going to write a novel. And by the way, I didn't know how long it was supposed to be, and so it was quite long.
there really are not a lot of rule books for writing a novel. There are certain things that you must do. You must have an idea for a story, and you must put your butt in the chair and write. And how you approach it, whether you're an outliner or a seat of the pantser, it doesn't matter. It just has to come from your brain through your fingers into your keyboard onto your screen.
Well, that's right. And I had one more thought about how I got started. I remember the first poor devil I gave it to read, the wonderful guy and a really bright guy. And he told me, well, I think there's a story in here. I think there's a novel in here somewhere. And so you know, once I cut it in half, there was. But, again, that's not this. That's how I got started. So I digress. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's perfectly fine. I want to talk a little bit about the specifics of Beach Lawyer. But before that, I want to point out that I have read a lot of crime fiction, and one of the subgenres of crime fiction that I really like, because I live in Southern California, is what is called surf noir, or since your protagonist, Robert Worth, doesn't surf, California beach noir. And as far as that subgenre's luminaries, you know, you're in pretty good company. You know, Ross McDonald, Kem Nunn, Don Winslow, T. Jefferson Parker, and Denise Hamilton. So you're originally from Tennessee. How long did you have to live in Southern California before you decided you wanted to tackle the dark side of the sunny beach?
That's a great question, too. I would say it was not until 5 years ago when I decided that I wanted to start writing novels and started looking around for things that were, I guess, situations that were, for me, incongruous. And that is that, and there's no one that I knew of that was writing about the west side of L.A. from the point of view, from the vantage point of someone who was a lawyer. And no one that I know of ever decided that a practicing attorney who was a corporate lawyer would have anything interesting happen in his life. Once I decided that I could make that dramatic and actually explain enough of it so that it was interesting but not boring, at least I didn't think it was boring, and I haven't heard that yet, so that's a plus. Then I said, you know, give it a shot. And, you know, where does he live, and what does he do, and where does he go, and where does he work? All that was fun. Because, and you may know this law firm, Nancy, from living, from having a place at, I won't say where it is, but it's your place is at the beach in Santa Monica. But when you're on the boardwalk, as I suspect you are from time to time, there's a law firm down there. And every time I would walk on the boardwalk, there was this law firm that was on the corner. It's right on the boardwalk, and it's in its own building, and it's got bars all over the windows for good reason. And you know, it looks like a little mini fortress, but it's still there. It's been there ever since I came out here. And I said, I wonder what it's like to be on the beach and practice law. What do they do? Where do they go? Where do they go for lunch? Where can they, you know, I've never seen anyone come or go out of that building. And so all that sort of came together with the ambiance that I understood and knew from living at the beach for so long that just told me, you know, I think you can figure out a plot down here that's going to be interesting to people, because I don't think it's been done this way before, in spite of those other guys. They're tops in their field and incredible. And anyway, that's my answer, I think.
Well, maybe Beach Lawyer is the beginning of a sub genre, legal procedural surf noir.
Maybe so. And you know, who would have thought that if you talk about Don Winslow, a book that he wrote whose name escapes me right now. It's a wonderful, it's like you're down in it's like the San Diego mob, and you're going, what? There's a San Diego mafia that actually exists? Because you just don't think of those two things together. And I don't think of lawyers at the beach. And so my hope is that what looks so incongruous is really, you know, is fun.
The juxtaposition of high, you know, very wealthy and low, you know, people that don't make a lot of money, you know, light and dark and legit and sketchy. And that's all in your story. And you touch on it specifically in the description of the Venice Boardwalk, where you saw this law firm, and how it's a tourist magnet during the day, but somehow entirely different at night. You know, it's like a completely different population comes out at night. And so from what you're telling me, those contrasts, which are beach noir fundamentals, informed how this story evolved. You put a lawyer, you were seeing it through the prism of a lawyer's point of view. Is that fairly accurate?
It's very accurate, and it's up to a point. I mean, it's totally accurate up to a point. But what I wanted to do is with this guy is not make this mistake, which is to say, well, he's a little smarter than I am. He's a little better looking. He's a lot younger. And, you know, he's better in bed and, you know, he's more aggressive, but not that much. I wanted him to be a different, a guy who's a corporate lawyer who is definitely not me. And so, what I wanted to make sure of was that even though he is a lawyer and views this boardwalk through a certain way, I open with him in a situation on a handball court where I'm really telling you, this is not a normal, you're not going to think of this guy as a practicing attorney just to look at what he's doing right now, because he's not afraid to back down from a situation that normal people would say, you know what, this is just not worth it. I think I'm gonna give him the point and say, you know what, gotta run, gotta get to work. It's 6:30 now, I'm expected at the law firm, but nice game. And I was told at one point, a suggestion was made, hey, why don't you just have him show up at the law firm, come out of the elevator, we don't know anything about him, it'll be really great. And I'm going, well, I could do that, but I'm interested in what he did right before that. I'm really, really interested in knowing who this guy is, because it's very important to me.
Well, I think
to the story, by the way.
Right, and that goes to the idea of showing rather than telling. You really are showing what kind of person, what kind of man, and what kind of lawyer Robert Worth is in that exchange with the guy he's playing handball with. He's not necessarily aggressive, but he stands his ground.
That's right, and he won the point, and he's not going to back down off that. And we see that that's a great, you know, it's kind of, I'll say it again, Nancy, I'm on my way to work at that point, okay, and got to cut the game a little short. And, you know, your point, got to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Robert's not, and he's not going to do that, and he's just not geared that way. So he's in the context of working in a corporate law firm, a good firm, a really enviable position, he's got to sit on that a lot, and does, and doesn't have a problem with it. He's not an anger management guy. He's a guy who's not going to let people push him around in a physical way. He's just not geared that way. But he lets it happen, and he goes as far as he can. And without giving up the plot too much, he does have his limits, and we find out where they are. I think we find out what most of his limits are during the course of this book.
Since we're talking about Robert Worth, your protagonist, we should explain he's a fifth-year associate at a far West Side law firm that actually overlooks the Pacific Ocean. You know, he and in his practice, he's a corporate lawyer. There's nothing you would think that the law that he practices is a blood sport, and yet within his firm, I would say that adversarial doesn't even begin to define what's going on. And in his firm, law is a blood sport. So, were you maybe working through some issues, or was it just more fun to write it that way?
that's interesting. Philip Finelli tells him at one point, you know, you and I, Robert, we butt heads in our negotiations because we're on the corporate end of the firm. But these guys are down in the trenches every day, down and dirty. And, you know, they're taking hardcore depositions, and it's just a harder core practice when you go to court and when people are lying under oath, because they do it all the time.
So you're talking about litigators. You're talking about the litigators in the firm as opposed to the transactional attorneys.
The blood sport is generally practiced with the litigator. You generally run into that with the litigators. I'll never forget, and I'm not really working through anything. I wanted it to be dramatic. And the thing about it is that when you've got a loser of a case, you can just go in and say, you know what, this is just not working out. I got to get somebody else. It just doesn't work that way. So what Jack was up against was a recalcitrant defendant who wasn't doing, excuse me, his client was a recalcitrant plaintiff who wasn't playing ball with him. And his case was falling apart, and he was tired of dealing with it. And he's a very aggressive guy. And he's even more than that, as we learned. Not a guy that you want to cross. And as the story progresses, we're going to learn more and more about how far maybe Jack is willing to go. There doesn't seem to be a limit to that, and I'd rather not. I probably should stay away from talking about plot too much because I think
no spoilers, except that you know, Robert, through no fault of his own, does find himself in this litigator's crosshairs, and you know that of course is the crux of the story, how he works through that. And in that, in the way you structured the story, it did remind me a lot of Don Winslow's works, because you, honest to God, do not know what anybody is thinking in this book as you go through it. It is full of twists and turns and people doing unexpected things, not unexpected in that you think to yourself, oh, that person could never do that. Just, wow, so that's who that is, you know, so that's who Gia is, so that's who Robert really is, and that's who Jack is and who Philip is. You know, they all have, they're all three-dimensional characters in your book, and they all react and act sometimes unexpected, you know, oh yeah, of course he would do that, and sometimes totally unexpected, like, whoa, you know, he did that. And I thought that's one of the things that I thought made the story so interesting and also propelled it forward so almost compulsively.
Well, thanks for that. And that's the way I view it too. I view, when you say twists and turns, and that's used a lot, and it's a great way to express the way a plot goes. But for Robert, every twist and turn is what they love to call in screenwriting obstacles. They all make his life, you know, they make his life more difficult, the twists and the turns. And so if twists and turns make your life really easy, people don't buy it. They don't like it. It's not dramatic. So when this thing is twisting and turning, Robert generally doesn't go, okay, well, that one really, everything worked out for me. So this is very unexpected, but hey, that's great for me. It's like, oh, this is very unexpected, and now I really don't know what to do. That's where you want to get him. And that's not as easy to, you know, that's the challenge of making these stories build towards the end, as I want them to. I'm not sure I'll always succeed, but that's always the goal.
Well, as you're wrestling this particular protagonist in your head and then in the page, I think Robert is one of those guys who, because he is how he is, he He doesn't like to back down. It's not in his nature. That's not how he's hardwired. He can be his own worst enemy.
That's correct.
And that made me think of, like, in these characters that you have, they're, you know, they're good and they're bad and they're in between. And this is all of the characters. Everyone in Beach Lawyer seems to have an angle. And I'm curious if that was a difficult place to write from, to have this group of multifaceted characters, because even the secondary and tertiary characters to the story, Jack Pierce's father-in-law, for instance, not a huge presence in the book, but Lionel, I'm talking about, but an important, you know, important, and yet we find out a little, we find out quite a bit about him, and it's, you know, what you see is not necessarily what he wants us to see is not necessarily who he is. He's definitely got an agenda just like Robert. Not exactly the same agenda, but like Robert, Lionel also has an agenda. So, and, you know, his daughter, who is Jack Pierce's wife, the same sort of thing. They're, you know, sort of kind of still waters run deep. And I'm just wondering, to have such full-fashioned characters and having them bouncing on and off each other, was that difficult to sustain in the writing process?
It is. Yes, it was, because of it's really in how and where you decide you can finally reveal who people are. And that, pardon me, that has to come at the right time. And so you're hiding. People are hiding just like they do in, just like they do in real life. I used to sit at this. I mean, let me actually try to answer your question more specifically with regard to these characters. You used a great word, angles. And this book, at one point, I wanted to call it Seven Angles. And my manager, I think, with me said, no. I mentioned, now there's this, you know, Beach Lawyer. And he said, now, Beach Lawyer. I said, yeah, but, you know, we could, this angles and everybody is going to, and he goes, Beach Lawyer. And I went, I know what you're saying. I know you like it. But he said, no, Beach Lawyer, your title is, the book is Beach Lawyer. And I went, okay, all right. And so I just deferred. But I know what you're talking about, and everybody does have an angle. I've said this, I guess, in print before, but I'll say it again. The only guy who doesn't, when I think about it, I don't think he really has an angle as a criminal. He's just a you know, Reyes, the guy down, the guy who says, just acknowledges sort of what he does and who he is and who we meet early on. He's doesn't really have an angle. He's already declared. Everybody else is sort of running around being something else, I'm clean, you know, I'm not a junkie, I'm respectable, or I live up here on the top of the hill and you can't touch me, I just want to help you, I just want to help my client, I won't say who that is. And so, yeah, everybody does have an angle, and yes, it is harder to write for me. It may not be for some people. It may just come really naturally and easily. But that's one reason why, and I've heard you ask this before, not to me, but why I need an outline, because when those reveals come, they don't just come out of nowhere, and I have to have some idea where they're going to go in order to make them dramatic and not to have the story sag at that point. You hear that all the time. You know, it's just, I don't know. I was bored through this 3 pages right here. I just didn't know. You're going, okay, that's when you're responsible to people like that who have comments like that. This 5 pages, it really sagged, and you're going, okay, you got to keep up the energy. I get it. And so, that's what I tried to do, and that's part of being a screenwriter and bringing it to trying to write a novel. And that may change. I don't know.
Well, you certainly maintain the tension throughout the book. I mean, it's one of those books that's many points so tense, you almost have to put it down for 5 minutes and take a walk, you know, just walk around the room before you come back, because it's, I found myself holding my breath from time to time, and you're not quite sure how Robert is going to work his way through the case and the situation that he finds himself in, and the circumstances and the crosses and the double crosses and the triple crosses from all of these characters. He does have a moral compass. He doesn't want to take anything that is not his.
That's correct. No, he really does. But I'm sorry, I'm wiping these tears of joy from my face listening to you talk. So if I seem a little distracted, that's why. That's a reaction. That's the idea. You just described the ideal reaction to the book, and I hope that you know that a ton of people share your read it that way, and I wanted it to be that way, but you never know. You can't tell whether people have to buy in all the way, and if they get sidetracked or confused too much, they just say, this is not for me, or worse, as I've learned on, you know, in the process of having the book published. I wanted people to feel that way, and I want them to be, I don't want them to put it down. I want them to feel like they can get up the next day and pick it up and be excited and wonder where it's going to go next. That's the idea.
Well, that's very true in the case of this book. You really don't know where you're going to go next, especially in a place like Southern California and in a place close to the beach where, you know, once again, everybody's got an angle. There's just everybody's running a game, or most people are running a game, whether they're legit or criminals or whatever. It's just everybody's trying to either stay afloat or get ahead, and that's not an easy thing to do in this part of the world.
Yeah, or stay on top. You know?
Or stay on top.
And I'll do whatever it takes. I'm going to do whatever it takes, and you're not going to take that away from me. But when you find out who people are, you go. The tendency, I hope, is to go, well, that makes. I understand why this means so much to this particular person. Not that what he's doing or she is doing is right or wrong, but I certainly understand it. And so that's, I hope, what you mean by three-dimensional characters. And even a guy like Stanley, who was my most fun guy to write, we know a lot about Stanley. And I love Stanley. I knew Stanley before he passed away. Not exactly, but I know how he thinks. And because of hanging out, which I did for a while in mornings at coffee shops around, you meet people that don't have any real, who are just smart and funny and damaged, and they have no fallback position at all. And, they don't view it that way. But when you step back from him, you see, you know, this guy's going to do whatever he's got to do. And in this book, people sort of do what needs doing. And I'm just glad you see it that way and that you appreciate it for what it is.
Well, I understand that Robert's story is going to continue. So I'm wondering, what's next for the beach lawyer? What's the next book I saw is scheduled to come out next year? Which means that you're probably either finished or very close to being finished. So is there anything you can say about that?
Liz, you're not listening to this, are you? That's my editor, Thomas at Merck. You're not. No, I'm not nearly finished. There's no way I'll finish this in time. I'm, of course, kidding, Liz. It's going to be great. And I'm getting reads on it right now. And it's called The Boardwalk. It's called The Boardwalk Trust. And it's about. I don't want to say anything about what the setup is, because I think that's fun to get to at the end. But Robert's next client will be someone that he meets on the boardwalk, and it just kind of. I like for things to start small and go from there. I'm not going to ever be writing about Robert is on the boardwalk and he thinks that he has uncovered a nest of ISIS terrorists who are going to kill the president when he comes out here to stay at the he's staying at the Bel Air Hotel. I'm not the guy to do that the best. And there are people that could do make a great story out of that, a great yarn. And but I'm not that guy. So far, I've liked to start small and get deeper and deeper, and that's been my experience in life in terms of the way that I approach people naively, I think, lots of times, and then find out more and more, and that's when it gets to be really interesting for me I realize how badly I've misjudged somebody.
Well, that sort of brings to mind there is one other legal surf noir story. It's just not a book. It reminds me a little of Goliath, which was just on Amazon. I think it was a 10-part series with Billy Bob Thornton.
I made sure that I didn't watch that because of what you're saying, and I thought it would be a really bad idea for me to do. It would be like don't think about. Gosh, there's got to be a better way to say don't think about pink elephants, but it's more like that. I decided that would be something to really steer clear of for because I know, but because of what I heard. This reminds me a little bit of that. I'm going, well, I don't, then I'm not going
to. Oh, the stories are completely different, but the idea of the contrast of high and low and a lawyer at the beach, that's similar, and the cases are different. It's just, but I understand entirely what you're saying. People sometimes ask me, well, did you listen to so-and-so on NPR, or did you listen to so-and-so on their podcast, or did you read this interview? And my answer is always no, because, I'm too, like a sponge, I might hear something and then repeat it, and then I haven't given the writer an opportunity to say something different to me, and it can take away the element of surprise and make people not want to listen to Speaking of Mysteries.
Well, I tell you, that's right on point. And again, if there's a story, I stopped watching all of those crime stories years ago, even though I liked them. All the Dick Wolf stories. Is it Dick Wolf? I think it is.
Yeah.
Basically, every show on television was one of his on network. And I just stopped watching because I would see something that reminded me of something that I was doing, and I would go, oh, I can't do that anymore. In my, not that I would stop, but just in, it saps your it takes away from what you need to do in order to get, for me, to get crazy enough to go and write a book. And I, by crazy, I mean, you have to, if you're a bit obsessive compulsive, if you're, in my case, if I'm doing it right, it's obsessive compulsive. I don't think all writers are that way at all. That's just the way I tend to do it.
I think there's a certain amount of insanity in anyone who sits down, as we said at the beginning of this interview, who sits down, puts their butt in the chair, and is going to somehow turn out something between 90,000 and, it looks like Beach Lawyer is probably about 130,000 words. That it's a huge accomplishment, but you can't really be completely sane if that's the way you've decided to make your living.
I reluctantly agree with you.
Thank God for people like you who do this in order to provide entertainment for people like me.
I'm just so glad you were entertained, and that's, it's supposed to be an entertaining book that's an intense book that's entertaining, and I'm glad you felt that way about it. I really am.
Well, thank you so much, Avery, for joining us and for talking about The Beach Lawyer, and I wish you a lot of luck. It was just released earlier this week on May 1st, and it's a great read for the beach. it's a great summer read, but thank you. Thank you again for joining us.
Nancy, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.